Hey there, I know that this sounds like The Walk, but it's Father Roderick to the max. Thanks for listening. The reason that this sounds like The Walk is that I'm actually walking outside. And the reason for that is that I have no longer access to my recording equipment because I've moved it already to Father Henry's rectory, where I'll be staying for the foreseeable future. That is the bell that indicates that it's now already 7:30. We switched to summertime this weekend, which is hopefully one of the last times. We were supposed to get rid of summertime or wintertime, or at least a time difference by now, but COVID stopped that entire process. I think in the entirety of Europe, we're getting rid of this silly change of hours, which has completely lost its function, especially now that we have an evening clock and people can't even be outside. So one of the reasons that they started this whole summertime thing, because normally we should be on wintertime. That is much more compatible with our biorhythm. But then they introduced summertime as, among other reasons, to support local the restaurants and bars, and because people would be outside for longer, and so they would consume more drinks, I suppose. At least that's one of the things that they keep repeating. But nobody is out right now. Well, maybe when the weather will get better, people will get outside. But you can't sit down, not even outside here in the Netherlands. The rules and regulations are pretty strict. So, the entire summertime thing is silly. Anyway, so I brought my audio equipment to Father Henry's rectory. I'm staying in the attic, in a room at the back of the house, near the bell tower. So that will be familiar, because my bedroom is also next to the bell tower. So I'm used to hearing bells all through the night. And I wanted to already kind of bring all the equipment there just to facilitate the process of getting ready for the move. Moving company is going to take everything away on Thursday, and then they're going to bring it to the new rectory, not Father Henry's rectory, but the one where I will be living, the next day on Friday morning. And everything will probably just stay in storage there for the time that is necessary to upgrade the rooms. And there's a lot that needs to be done. So I wouldn't be surprised if I stayed for at least, I don't know, a month, maybe longer with Father Henry. And I wanted to make sure that I could continue to work not as much as possible, but definitely as well as possible. So even though it was quite a hassle to bring all that stuff to basically a room for guests, I still wanted to have a good desk chair. I wanted to get a big widescreen monitor there, the fastest PC that I have for editing and rendering, and headphones and all that, and of course all the podcasting equipment as well. So I've got even the green screen. The only thing that I didn't move yet are the Elgato lights to light the green screen, but I figured I will have some more time now that the frenzy of moving and getting ready for the move is almost over. I'll have more time to produce some more YouTube videos, maybe some of that more popular stuff. It's like I'm using my YouTube channel right now mostly for streaming mass, which is highly appreciated by a portion of my audience, but of course there's another portion of the YouTube followers that would like to see updates on movies and Star Wars and that sort of stuff. So having all my equipment there is guaranteeing that my life can, at least work-wise, can be as it was. And I'm kind of longing for the days that I will have a kind of a normal production life, even though I'll be living in kind of more primitive circumstances for a while. I still get comfort out of being able to share my stories with the rest of the world and with you, of course. But so this is a sacrifice I had to make for today's Father Roderick to the Max. I figured I'll just use my proven method. I'll just go for a walk. That'll do me good. And I'll just use my trusty old Zoom H2 that I've been using for years now. And that is very small, easy to take with me, and still has, you know, quite good audio quality. I'm also going to use this one for the voiceovers for the TV show, which is thankfully being edited now by Hugo. But he will need the voiceovers for the next episode. Yeah. Good grief. I'm still so glad that I don't have to do that myself right now. These weeks are very taxing. I'm already in the health segment. So, in case you missed the jingle, we're now in the health segment. Especially today, I was extremely tired. This is the kind of fatigue that I used to feel when I was still recovering from COVID and I had these long COVID symptoms. If I pushed myself too much, then there would be days where I could barely move and I'd be in bed most of the day. Now, thankfully, I don't have to do that anymore, but I still feel the fatigue. And there is a very, unfamiliar symptom of this fatigue, and that is my cheeks are red. So it's almost as if I'm blushing, which I'm not, but it's that same deep red. And I noticed that it turns my cheeks turn red when at the same time I'm pushing through this fatigue cloud. You know that when sometimes you just feel like, oh, I could just sleep, and then you can't because you have to work or you're in the car. That happens to me also when I'm driving sometimes and you're so tired, and then you just tell yourself, I gotta push through, I'm almost home. And then it's almost as if you're ignoring like an alarm or something like that. And as a result, now my cheeks are all of a sudden flushed. And I feel the blood rushing to my head. That can't be good. This is not normal. So it is a sign that I've been pushing myself pretty hard over the past weeks. And I'm not the only one. I would have been unable to do this without the help of Hank, who has been an incredible support. He's very good at organizing and has a good eye for space and how to pack things and processes, where to start. I easily get overwhelmed and may also be aggravated by the fact that I'm multitasking so much over the past weeks, from having to deal with concluding my time as a parish priest and all the related communication that you have to somehow manage. I won't go into details, but that has been complicated and tricky, and I had to be very careful with what I said, what I'm supposed to say, how to react to the various comments that I've received from parishioners, and most of which are very, very kind, very thankful for the time that I was their parish priest. But also, of course, I receive a lot of questions. Well, why are you going away? What made you decide that? And then, well, I have to formulate things the way I'm supposed to formulate it. Let's put it that way. But anyway, so that's one thing. Then on the second thing that I'm dealing with is just regular production work. And you may think that my work for TV is just filming and then sometimes editing, but there's also this entire part of the work that is not even contractually regulated, but it's just assumed that I take care of that as well. And that is all the publicity around it. So I have to write like short blurbs that will be published in the various TV magazines of the broadcasting company that I work for. They always want photos, so I need to go to my footage and find some screen caps, because I usually don't have time to take that many photos while I'm filming. And so I just take the film material as a source for some screenshots. It's not the best quality, but since this is for a magazine, usually they print like smaller versions of the photo. But now, of course, I don't have access to most of that material because Hugo shot it. So I have to talk to him and see how we can still provide the publicity department with what they need. And it easily takes up per episode like a few hours. And I never budgeted it for it, because I would do that, you know, in between other work. But now that I'm so busy and so my mind is divided over so many tasks, these little things are getting on my nerves. It's like, oh, come on. Why am I working for paper magazines? That is like, who reads this stuff? Why is that part of my job description? Or why wasn't that part of my job description? And why am I not compensated for it? Because this is a ton of work. Anyway, so that's another thing. I've got a stone in my shoe, or maybe the shoe itself. This happened to me also the other day when I was in the church in Wageningen, from where we were streaming the Palm Sunday celebration. I'll talk a little bit more about that experience later on. And all of a sudden I feel this, it feels like there is a stone in my shoe, and then I take off my shoe, try to get the little stone out, and or the pebble or whatever it is, and there is none. So it makes me think that there is probably a piece of plastic or something that is detaching itself. These shoes are in dire need of replacement. But of course, I haven't been in a shoe store for more than a year now. And my shoes already should have been replaced last year. There are only a few stores in the Netherlands where they sell these. And I don't want to order them online. Ouch. You know what? I'm gonna... Like, it's poking into my little toe on the left while I'm walking. And I know it's not a pebble because it's not moving. So anyway, I do have only one other pair of shoes, but those are dress shoes, and they're not the brand that I usually buy. And I always regret it. So my go-to brand is Rockport, which I discovered, ironically, in the United States, whereas it's apparently not even an American brand. It is fabricated in Germany, and there are only very few stores in the Netherlands that sell them. But for me, for my type of feet, they're fantastic. And what I love about these shoes is that they look relatively nice. You can wear them on a Sunday without shocking your mom. But at the same time, I can walk on these for hours, provided, of course, they're still doing well. Let me just stop at this little bench here. See if I can take it off and see if I can find the source of this pain here. No, that's what I thought. There is no pebble. This is just a, like a, trying to shake it. Nothing comes out. Yeah, so this must be part of the, I don't know what they use in these shoes, but it's, because the shoe is so old, something definitely got detached, and This is on the inside of the shoe. I have to tie my shoelace while holding a microphone. Let me put you down here for a second. This is usually the time that I would go to a shoe store and get this thing replaced. Oh well. What was I saying? So yeah, different things that I'm working on. Another thing, of course, is these shows, the podcasts. I really do my best to bring you these updates. Also to keep you in the loop, because these may not be the best researched shows, but I think it's important because my community is very much a community of friends that some of you have been walking with me for a large part of your life. And so I want to bring you along also in this time of change and transition to a new place. Ouch. Okay, this is not going to be a very pleasant walk. So the podcast, that is actually not a big worry. Actually, I enjoy recording these because it forces me to go outside. So because I was so tired, I felt like I can do two things. I can lay in bed and then the entire day will be lost. Or I can do something to maybe stimulate my blood circulation and kind of get over that hump of fatigue. Okay, I truly cannot wear these shoes anymore. Ouch. Sorry about that. It's such a nagging, prodding feeling in my left toe. The thing is, the dress shoes, they look nice, but they're terrible for walking. And maybe it's also because I don't wear them that much, so the leather is still pretty stiff. Right now, I feel like I can't wear these anymore either. Oh, gosh. That's why I need to somehow figure out how to get new shoes, because this corona situation is not over yet. We've been getting updates from the government about their vaccination speed, and it's much lower than they anticipated. They want to keep vaccines in storage for the second treatment, so you need to kind of space out these injections for most of the vaccines. So they don't want to use them up because it may be that there may be a delay in delivery or anything. They don't want to risk that people, if they space out the vaccinations too much, that the vaccinations themselves won't be effective anymore. But it's frustrating. I'm very glad that at least most of the elderly people have been vaccinated now, and it is showing in the decline of the amount of COVID deaths. So that's definitely declining thanks to the vaccinations. But on the other hand, for the past week, the percentage of infections has been rising quite substantially. So it's now 13% higher than last week. And if you look at the curve, we're heading for another big wave. And this is solely due to the fact that the English variant has taken over completely. So, and it's much more, it's much easier to catch. It's funny that it's mostly the 20-year-olds that are currently getting infected and also getting health issues, because otherwise people wouldn't let themselves be tested. So that is worrisome, because of course the people in their 20s are much more mobile and have more social contacts, even despite the regulations. And so it's a bit worrisome if that group starts to really spread the virus. Will it be stoppable by vaccination alone? I don't know. The last thing I want is that we're heading into a total lockdown, which is happening in some other countries, like Belgium. I think they did an Easter lockdown, and it's much stricter than we have over here. Germany is also taking some pretty severe measures. Italy, Rome, around Easter, the Italian government is very worried that, because of course the weather is great and people love to be outside, and Italians are very social people and they love to mingle. They feel that they had to restrict people's freedom even more just to avoid another peak in the infections. So what I hope won't happen is that they're going to close like all the stores. Right now you can still go to the supermarkets. We actually never had a total lockdown like they had in the UK and in parts of Italy. So we can still go to some stores. For some particular stores, you need to make an appointment, and you have to make that appointment like 4 hours in advance, and then you have to show up. They'll check if it's you, and then you get 10 to 20 minutes to buy whatever you want to buy. Well, of course, for shoes, that is not, often for me, is not enough. I can easily take an hour getting the right pair of shoes. So, and of course, like ordering or making an appointment 4 hours in advance for a shoe store that is not even in my own town. I have to go to Hilversum for these particular shoes. That's just not going to happen as long as I haven't moved yet. So, and then I also desperately need to get a haircut. But that's something I can still do because the hairdressers are open. So I'll make an appointment for tomorrow morning, get that over with for Easter. So another thing that I'm having to focus on is the streaming of the masses on during Holy Week. So that was way more difficult than I expected it to be. We thought that we could just create a mobile setup using maybe one camera and a computer, and then the lights. That is not a problem, but what really broke the camel's back was the audio, because we've been using since day one the audio system of the Church of St. Joseph's. And so the only thing we needed to do was to get the overall mix using the microphones of the church and everything, and add that to the video registration. And that usually worked pretty well. However, in the day chapel of the church from which we are streaming now, there is no audio system. And so all of a sudden I see myself facing this problem of how do I get the audio? How do I add the audio to the stream? Of course, I can set up microphones with cables, but we have to clean up everything right after the mass, because this church is usually very busy and there are lots of activities in that chapel, so we can't leave anything there. So we needed to go for a very lean, simple solution, and I just couldn't figure it out. The only solution that I ultimately found was to use the wireless microphones that I normally use for my TV interviews. And fortunately, I have two sets. So a set is a sender, which is the microphone in a little box that sends out the signal, and a receiver. And the receiver has an audio out that you then have to mix with at least one other microphone, because liturgy is never just one person. Or, well, maybe in some cases it can be, but that's an exception. You always want to have several actors. So we decided we're going to do the Holy Week celebrations with an acolyte, Hank, who doesn't have to speak, so we don't need to wire him. And then, of course, a reader, which is Marijke, and she's been helping us out for months now, and I was really sorry that we had to end the Mass, the International Mass, in St. Joseph's Church. So when we told her that we were going to stream from another church, she's like, oh, I'd love to help. But she needs to have a microphone as well. And in order to get that into the laptop that I'm using, so we were streaming using an iMac. This is one of these big screen iMacs, all-in-one computers that I bought quite a few years ago. I think this must be from 2012, maybe even older. I've been upgrading it over time, so it's got an SSD. It's still pretty fast. Has a lot of USB ports, which is wonderful because all this equipment needs USB ports, like the cameras and the audio. But it is a big computer. It needs to be on a desk. None of that is available in the chapel, and it would be impossible to put a big computer there. So the only alternative that I had was to go back to my MacBook Air, which I knew I could use for simple streaming because I still use it for the Lego streams. But the Lego stream, of course, is just using a webcam and a very short, small plug-in microphone. And even back then, now it's kind of standard for Apple laptops to have, you know, one or two USB-C ports, and that's it. If you want to connect any other device, you need to buy a dongle or a hub, which I don't want to do because it's extra hassle, it's extra equipment, it's another thing that can break. So, on this MacBook Air, I only have two regular USB-A ports. So the bigger ones, and the camera takes up one, and the audio takes up USB port number two, and that's it. So and then right before we went there, I tried out these two microphones. Now, of course, they've been configured for the Canon M50, which has needs a certain level of audio to work well, which is very different from what a stream needs. And the little audio, the Scarlett audio interface needs another input signal. So it was the audio was way too low volume. And then I noticed another thing, and this was all happening on the day that we were going to stream from the new chapel. There was interference between the two microphones, so it caused this horrible sound. And I remembered the moment I noticed, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember that this happened once before when we were trying to record a talk show, and we basically couldn't publish it because the audio was so horrible, and we only discovered it afterwards that these two frequencies of the Sennheiser sets were kind of bouncing off each other and just caused total audio mayhem. And so it took me more than an hour to figure out how to get these two devices on different frequencies. The interface is very old-fashioned and clunky and almost incomprehensible without a good manual and some experience. And I have none of that. So I was like, we'll just have to hope that it works. If it doesn't work, then I don't know what we're going to do. And then we arrive, finally. This is, of course, the new chapel. The church is a half-hour drive from where I am. And so we arrive with all that equipment, the MacBook, the camera, the tripod, the audio interface, the lamps, the studio lights, because it's a chapel that is there for adoration. So it's got this mood lighting, which is completely useless for mass, because it's all kind of very yellowish light and extremely weak. So then lots and lots of cables. So we set everything up. I was super stressed because we also had to make sure that we would be out of the chapel an hour later because there was a group that was going to need to use the chapel for adoration. And then, there, of course, there would be the regular Mass for Palm Sunday in the big church. So we had such a limited time window and so much that we had to... And then we could only use one camera instead of, you know, the nice PTZ super cameras that we've been using for months now. And so I asked Inge if she could zoom in on certain people and... you know, for instance, during the homily, I didn't want to have just this one static image of the small altar, and I think that there is more, I don't know, for communication it's better that you can get a little bit closer, for instance, during the readings and during the homily. Then she had to do that manually because, of course, we're using the Canon M50, which has the lens that I used. It's not a very good lens, it's the kit lens, so it's very grainy, especially in low-light environments like the chapel where we were doing this. And it's you can zoom in a little bit, but you have to do it manually. It doesn't have, like regular cameras have this zoom button, and it's a smooth process. Plus, Inge, I do know this, but I didn't realize the trouble it would cause. Inge is left-handed, and all cameras are designed for right-handed people. And so if you have to do these subtle movements with your wrong hand, or you try to do it with your left hand, but you're, like the camera itself is made for right-handed people, it just causes a lot of trouble. It was very tricky for her to do that, and to avoid getting her fingers in front of the lens. And so she was like, ah, this is so hard. It's a good reminder how spoiled we have been over the past months by being able to do all that and have the cameras just stay there all the time. Good grief. I was exhausted. And then, of course, we set everything up. I want to connect the camera. And for some reason, the cheap USB cable doesn't work anymore. So it's a... I took the longest cable, and apparently it was also the lowest quality cable, and I couldn't insert it into... It didn't click into the USB connector of the Canon M50 anymore. And so, thankfully, Marijke had a charging set for her mobile phone, which had... she has an iPhone, I think. So it had an Apple cable, and it had also a USB mini cable, which worked. The problem was, it was a very small charging cable. So we had to somehow get the laptop super close to the camera in order to be able to connect. I was like, oh no! Why is this so hard? And then with all that, all the preparation, I think I must have taken at least 3 or 4 hours to get everything ready. And with that, I had no time to prepare for the liturgy itself. So I had to basically wing it, everything. And thankfully, Henk was there, who is a very experienced master of ceremonies, who basically guided me through Palm Sunday Mass as if I were a just ordained priest who had never done this before. And good grief, it was a challenge. And I'm not surprised that today I'm so exhausted, because it was so much more challenging than I thought it would be. Anyway, I'm sharing this with you because since you are patrons, you're already helping me to invest in maybe a new laptop, or I need to have something that is more mobile and is easier to work with. And I'm even thinking of maybe, because the PTZ cameras are not mobile. You really have to make sure they're on a good tripod, and then, because of course every time you use them, they're pre-programmed. But of course, if you pre-program the settings of the PTZ camera, it needs to be in the same place every time. So we can't do that in our current mobile setup. So I think that what we need to do is to get a camera that you can, that is not a photo camera, but that is more like the one that we were using in the first few months, which was a Sony FS5 II, which was a professional camera that I borrowed from my broadcasting company. But I have to return that now. But I need to have something like that, something that you can operate manually with, and preferably also that is able to be, that is, you know, easy to operate for people that are left-handed. Anyway, I'll keep you posted. I just never thought that after doing this for more than a year, streaming these Holy Week Masses would be such a technical challenge again. It's like we have to start all over again. All right, so that was a very long segment on why I'm so tired. why things are the way they are. I'm thinking I could go... Oh, there's some visitors here. They're dropping something on the floor. What was I saying? Yeah, so I can go through the motions and record like all the other segments as well, but I don't think that is useful. This is just the current state of affairs. And next week, I'll be able to do a regular Father Roderick to the Max again, when I'm sitting at my temporary desk with my Rodecaster. I can record all the other segments. So I hope you understand. Just wanted to again tell you how much I am grateful that you support what I do, and it's also that keeps me going, because these past weeks were so hard. Like, man, if I didn't have the support of so many of you, and also of the local volunteers of Inge and Hank, I don't think I'd be alive right now. So it makes me really appreciate our friendship and your support. So thank you so much for that. Now that you know the behind the scenes story, I hope you will forgive me if my homilies for the next couple of days are not going to be super, you know, fantastic. I'm just basically doing what I can and hoping for the best. So thanks for your understanding. Talk to you guys later. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll be back soon.